Hello everybody, this is Cross the Rubicon channel. Today is the 24th of December, Christmas Eve. Now today on my podcast, obviously I'm doing podcasts now because I've been banned off YouTube, like I said on my previous podcast, and this is my podcast number two. I'm going to make this quite brief if that's okay with you. But I'd like to talk about this Behrouz Boucani. This refugee that's come to New Zealand, who spent 6 years on Manus Island detention centre, and he arrived in Christchurch Airport just over a month ago on a 1 month visa, and he was greeted by Golriz Galrahan, who's a Green MP from Wellington. Now she's Iranian, just like him, and but now he's decided not to go back to Manus Island, and he's decided to overstay and claim asylum. I believe that Golriz, she knew what he was going to do, and she is harbouring someone who is breaking the law in New Zealand. So you'd have to call into question her integrity as an MP. And most people on the right know what she is, because whenever she gets questioned or someone criticises her, she always, always pulls the race card or the sexist card or the Islamophobic card. All the time she does it. She is actually quite attractive, but at the same time, she's not a nice person. She's horrible, actually. You know, she's not the kind of person I'd like to even have a conversation with, because she would always find offence, because she's one of those types of people that would actively hunt for offence because they want to be offended, because they want to shut you down. And she has lots of support in New Zealand by the politically correct brigade, who are all on the left. Because most people on the left hunt for offence. They want to be offended. They go through their daily lives hunting to be offended. Now, should this man, this Behrouz Boucani, I apologise if I'm mispronouncing his name, but I don't really care, because I don't do politically correct, and, you know, that's just me. Because I don't believe in it. And if someone's offended, well, that's not my problem, it's their problem. And, you know, no one should be allowed to shut people down just because they are offended. And this is the problem with the world today, is that offence now, if someone takes offence, it's almost, well, it is now. It's if someone takes offence at something you say, it's almost like an act of violence. Especially in the UK and Canada as well. You know, if you don't use the right pronouns now for these transgender lunatics, you know, these people who are mentally ill, you basically can be arrested and charged with some kind of hate crime. But what gave such a minority of people such power? How did they achieve that? You know, these transgenders, and especially transgenders, who make up 0.01% of the population, and yet they've got such power over the majority. How did that happen? And yet the left, they champion transgenderism and gay marriage and all these loony lefty things they like to champion, but at the same time they champion Islam as well, and Islam doesn't exactly champion gay marriage or transgenderism or even being gay. Because in Islamic countries, a lot of Islamic countries, you wouldn't want to be openly gay because you will be killed or you will be jailed. And if you're caught in the act, a gay act, then, you know, it's not going to be good for you. And to be a transgender in, I don't know, name a country. Indonesia, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Iran. How would your life be? I think you'd be jailed. It's absolutely certain you'd be jailed. And yet, the left champion both sides, who are ideologically opposed. So how is it going to work out when the left are championing the mass migration of Islam into New Zealand and all Western nations, Western democracies, and they're championing transgenderism in our schools as well? It's not going to go well, and something's going to give at some stage, isn't it? And when it comes to that kind of thing, I'd be on the side of Islam. No, I don't think I'll ever be on the side of Islam. And I will never be on the side of transgenderism either. Because why should I champion a mental disorder? I think it's true that the highest suicide rates are amongst people who have had sex change operations. But you won't hear this in the media. Belrouz Boukhani, the refugee, what will happen to him? And what kind of message is him staying here and an MP of the Green Party championing his cause? What kind of message is that going to send to other people that come here under false pretenses? Because he came here for some kind of literary festival that was happening in Christchurch. And Golriz met him at the airport in Christchurch, to all the fanfare of the pathetic media we've got in New Zealand. And on a one-month visa, by the way. And now he's decided he's not going back. So how is that going to pan out? I guarantee he won't be going back anyway. But apparently he's written a book about the terrible treatment he's had by the Australian authorities on Manus Island. I mean, there's gratitude for you, isn't it? You know, he knew the crack. He knew the score, that the Australians weren't going to let him in the country. And he criticises them anyway. Me, I'd have him sent back to Manus Island, and you know, he's Australia's problem, not New Zealand's. So if he gets let in, what's that message going to send to others? They'll probably do the same thing, won't they? They'll get a visa, a one-month visa, come here and claim refugee status. But this is all part of the plan, because refugees are treated the same now, or they will be from March next year, I think it is. They're going to be treated the same as anybody else who migrates to New Zealand, and they'll get the same rights and privileges. Not the same, but probably even more. Remember, you can kick new migrants out, but you won't be able to kick refugees out. And they will be getting everything on the plate, especially if they're, dare I say it, Muslims. Because Muslims are the super, super oppressed. And it's made that way even worse now since the 15th of March last year, or this year, should I say. Made even worse. You see it in the news nearly every night here in New Zealand. Talking about the mosque and, you know, what happened and how terrible and how oppressed these Muslims are, and they get Muslims on the telly, never get an opposing view at all. Not that there is an opposing view to what happened in the mosque, there isn't. There's no excuse for that at all. But there is no opposing view to Islam that will be accepted. We will accept it. Or you are, or we are, racists, xenophobes, right-wing, far-right fascists or Islamophobes. But this is deliberately orchestrated by Islamists and governments and academics alike to shut reasonable debate down. This is right across the Western world. And they, I don't know, I mean, there's so many people being killed by Islamists for questioning the doctrines of Islam. So now, politicians and academics, mainstream media, they basically attack everybody else who criticise Islam because it's easier, because they are too afraid to criticise Islam, because they know what happened to Charlie Hebdo. They know what happened to the Danish cartoonists. And anyone that draws a picture of Mohammed or desecrates the Quran or, you know, basically just criticises Islam, how long can this go on? Do we just keep letting them push and push and push against the West? Because that's what the politicians are doing. And they are making laws that suit the Islamic invasion of Western nations. And the laws are that we cannot criticise them. They're the laws, and they will jail us if we do. Hate speech. This is what they call it. Hate speech. If you criticise Islam, you're an Islamophobe. Just because I criticise someone doesn't mean I hate them. Islam should be criticised. Nothing or nobody is above criticism. And this man, Belrose Buchani, and his very, very corrupted sidekick, Golriz, who I would suggest knew what he was going to do, maybe even told him to do it. I think she's corrupt. And because she's a Muslim, and because she's got slightly brown skin, and because she's a female, she's got three cards to play. Three cards. And she uses them to great effect all the time. She's even got armed police looking after her because she says her life is under threat. Funny that, in New Zealand. And she says her life is under threat. This is all bullshit, of course. But this is what they do to make it look like she's under threat. She's under no threat. The only threat she's under is criticism. And yet she wants to disarm everybody else. She's all for that. But yes, she surrounds herself with armed police. Isn't that strange? Isn't that hypocritical? These people are quite despicable. But anyway, somebody sent me an email just a week or so ago, a good friend of mine, and in Kmart, now, they're selling same-sex couple dolls with children on the shelves. Same-sex. Mummy and mummy with the child dolls. I think this is all part of the breakdown of the traditional family unit. And I think it's sick. You know, people will call me homophobe, people will call me all sorts. But I think this is the sickness in society. This is what's breaking us all down. We're losing our values. Not only are we supposed to accept this, it's gone beyond accepting it now. We are to promote it. They don't want acceptance. They want promotion. And that's another card they play now. So if they're from a same-sex relationship, be it a man with a man or a woman with a woman, and we basically don't celebrate it, then there's something wrong with us. And we are castigated by our peers, by quizzling, gutless politicians and academics. Being a Christian now is to be, I don't know, is to be like a leper. Lefties, academics, they criticise Christianity and celebrate Islam. They complain about the Crusades and what happened in the Crusades. Last Crusade was 800 years ago. And yet they won't criticise Islam for what Islam does today and what Islam's been doing for the last 1400 years. The Crusades was a reaction to Islamic expansionism across North Africa, the whole of the Middle East, and into Europe, up till the gates of Vienna twice. Occupation of Spain for nearly 800 years by the Moors of North Africa. And the move into Gaul, what is today France, where they were beaten back at the Battle of Tours in 730, I think. But no, we can't talk about that because that is Islamophobic. We're only allowed to talk about how cruel and disgusting the Christian Crusaders were. Islam is not to be criticised. Even though they've killed millions. Millions. You wouldn't want to be a Christian in a Muslim country. You wouldn't want to be any kind of minority in a Muslim country. Any Muslim country. Because you could be facing a death sentence. You're living on a knife edge every single day. And you have to succumb to their culture. You have to. But yet they come to our cultures and they demand that we succumb to their culture again, even when they are a tiny minority. How weak have we become to do this to ourselves? It's almost like, are we genocidal? Are we so ashamed of being Western with Western values, Western European, because of past generations, what they did? I think the Europeans did more good than bad in the world. You look at New Zealand, for instance, the British, yes, we came here, we did what we did with the Maoris, we had our Maori wars, but what did the Maoris do to the previous people that were here? There's a lot of talk, although not so much now because of revisionist Maori history, that people were here before Maori. But those people don't exist today because they were wiped out by Maori. So Maori get the title of indigenous. Are they indigenous? 800 years they've been here, tops. And yet, a few Maori tribes say there were people here that have been passed down through the families, mouth to mouth, basically, person to person, not written down, but they were greeted at the shores by blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. Where were they from? Who knows? But they don't exist anymore. But, you know, it could have been a lot worse for Maori, couldn't it? If the French took over New Zealand, which they very nearly did, the Portuguese, the Spanish, the Dutch, I don't think the Maoris would have had a treaty. I think if it was the Portuguese and the Spanish, I don't think Maori, there'd be no such thing as Maori today. No such thing at all. Because they were very cruel, the Spanish and the Portuguese. And the French, I would say then, were definitely a bit more cruel than the British. I think Maori should celebrate the British coming here. And what we did for New Zealand. What we did for everywhere, for every country. Yes, bad things have been done. But I think the good outweigh the bad. Look at Australia. The United States. Canada. New Zealand. But now we're made to feel ashamed of being especially British. Especially. And the people who are ashamed are the Marxists and the leftists. People on my side of the fence, well, we're not ashamed. And why should we pay for something that we never did? And pay people who have never suffered? You know, these are just my opinions, and I'm just talking into the phone to anybody who listens. But I believe I'm making some good points. But we do live in strange times with basically, well, the truth be told, if you're white now, you've got no opinion. If you're a white man with an opinion now, you're just a racist. And our opinion now is worthless. If you're black, brown, Muslim, transgender, gay, lesbian, whatever, your opinion is worth something now. Suddenly you've been elevated, and you've been elevated by cowards who are mostly white, who hate themselves. But they want everybody else to hate themselves, every other white man to hate themselves, and feel guilty about the past, and they want us to pay. And this will never end. Again, going back to Islam. Who did the left always talk about when it comes to slavery from Africa? It's always the white man, nearly always the British, always. The British, what the British did. Taking black Africans to the Americas. And the Americans too. But it's the British that really wear it. And yet, look at the once slaves. Look how they are in the United States today. Now, some lefties would argue they live in poverty. I would argue it's self-inflicted. They've only just had a black president. How many blacks they've got in Congress, in the Senate, House of Representatives? Plenty. America isn't racist at all. It's always got little pockets of racism. But they voted a black president. How? Twice. So how can it be a racist country? So that's how far the African Americans have come. But you look what the Muslims did with slavery, and they still practice slavery today. For all the blacks they took, and they were practicing slavery from Africa and Europe. The Barbary pirates were even raiding Britain and Ireland and France and Spain, taking slaves. And they were white slaves. And taking them back to their Muslim lands. That's what they did. Thousands and thousands of white slaves to Muslim Arabic lands. The Barbary pirates. Look it up. But the blacks, they took as slaves. They castrated. They cut the nuts off. They made them eunuchs. so they couldn't breed. That's what they did to the blacks. The Arabs did, the Muslims. They made them eunuchs because they knew they had high sex drives. And they weren't going to have them breeding with their Muslim women. That's what they did. This is well documented. But you won't see it on the BBC. You won't hear John Campbell talk about this on the news. You won't hear Jacinda Ardern say this. Or Patrick Gower. Because to say this apparently is racist and Islamophobic, even when it's a fact. So facts now are racist. If anybody can name me any Islamic country they'd love to move to, even lefties, let me know. Because I don't think you would like to live in an Islamic country. And you know why. Because you'll have no freedom. It's okay coming on YouTube and coming on social media and slagging off people like me and people on the right and saying you champion Islam and you champion every other ethnic minority to come to New Zealand, and yet you wouldn't want to live in the countries they come to. But when they come to your country and they come in such numbers that they turn your country, i.e. in this case New Zealand, into the country they came from, what then? There goes your freedom. And then, maybe, the penny will drop on you lefties out there listening to this. But then it's too late. It's too late then. Then they're in government. Then you've got Sharia law. Then you've got enclaves. Then you've lost all your freedoms of speech. Then they will kill you for expressing your criticism of them. But lefties don't get this. They don't see it at all. They just see the great Satan of America and Britain and France and Spain and Portugal, wherever, and believe they're bad. We are bad. These people hate themselves. They hate their own ancestors. They hate their own histories. And they want to promote everybody above themselves. They are basically wishing for their own genocide. Turkeys voting for Christmas. That's what they are. And they can't see it. They will not see it at all. Now, I've been banned from YouTube for 3 months. And there's two particular YouTubers in Christchurch who are celebrating me being banned. Now, these are far-left Antifa supporters. They are communists. And they're celebrating it, gloating that I've been banned. They're gloating that my freedom of speech has been taken away. Because on their YouTube channels, these people are so demented. They make YouTube videos about my YouTube videos. How sick is that? I mean, I don't know. Maybe they've got some kind of sexual fascination with me. I don't know. But, you know, I'll bounce back. Hopefully this grows, this podcast. One of them, Byron Clark, I'll name him, Byron Clark. He's got a YouTube site, and he's been doing this for years and years and years. And he's got, 150 subscribers. I've been doing it for just over a year, and I've got over 9,000. When you look at Byron Clark's site, his graphics and all that are amazing. But he's weird. He lives with his mum. He's like in his 30s, lived with his mum, probably never had a girlfriend. Almost certainly never had a girlfriend by the look of him. But his message is wrong. His message is far left. His message is Owen Jones, Jeremy Corbyn, Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, the Clintons, Obama. His message is their message. Everything's racist, racist, racist. You're Islamophobe, you're racist, you're far right. This is what he goes on about all the time, and he's showing my videos on his videos. I've asked him for a coffee many times, but he won't have it. But yet he carries on making videos about my videos. But he won't have a chat, a civil chat. And I've asked him for a civil chat, and I'd asked him very civilly too. But no, like the coward he is, he just makes videos about my videos. And then you got another fella. Now this fella is from my part of the world. He's actually from North West Wales. From Bangor, I think. Which is Bandit country in the UK. Because they're very Welsh speaking. And they hate the English and hate everybody else from other parts of Wales where they don't speak Welsh. But this fella, John Williams his name is. He's a bit plump, to say the least. But he's got a massive infatuation with me. He brags and gloats that he's got me banned off YouTube. You watch his videos. And he's even set himself up on BitChute and called himself Cross the Rubicon. He stole the name of my channel and called himself Cross the Rubicon. And he says that I've got an infatuation with him. And yet when you see him on his videos, his tongue's hanging out half the time. You know, he's a big fella. He doesn't get around much. And he just sits in his bed sitting in Christchurch making these hateful, I mean really hateful videos. I mean, the last one he called, his video was about the working class scum. Working class scum in the UK that voted Boris Johnson in. That's what he called people, working class scum. So that says something about him. He's a Welsh nationalist, and yet he lives in New Zealand. Hates the English. Even hates me, even I'm from Wales, originally. But I just can't, I don't know, I just can't climb into these people's heads. I just don't get them. They're from another planet for me. But they brag that they've shut me down. They brag that they've deplatformed me. And the problem is YouTube and politicians and the mainstream media are on their side. And people like me are being shut down. That's how sick we've become. But you know, next year, Trump is going to win. Unless something happens, you know, like a JFK kind of thing. The deep state can do that. And wouldn't the world celebrate then? And Boris Johnson's just won an election and we're going to get Brexit. And hopefully the right will start growing around Europe. Macron hopefully will fall next year. I'd like him to go down the same road as Louis XVI, me personally. But I think it's going to kick off at some stage. It's going to kick off because there is no debate anymore. There is none. Debate is not allowed. People on the right, i.e. me, are to be destroyed and deplatformed. And there lies your problem. Right there. These people are not up for debate. They want to destroy. Destroy your career. Destroy your family. Even put you in prison. This is what they want to do. But anyway, I've been on here for 35 minutes. But hopefully you enjoyed listening to that. I know it's Christmas, it might be a little bit depressing, but you know, life goes on, doesn't it? But this is Cross the Rubicon, the original Cross the Rubicon, from Christchurch in New Zealand. And please carry on listening and subscribe to this channel. And because you're going to get the truth, and I will tell you it as it is. I'm not going to effing blind, but I'll tell you in a calm, collective manner what I truly believe. And, you know, we live in strange times. But anyway, for now, Merry Christmas to everybody and have a great new year and get pissed a few times. And don't forget, stand up for yourself and say it as it is. And if people get upset, then that's their problem. And if you lose friends for your opinion, then I question their friendship anyway. Because, yeah, what kind of friends? What kind of friends fall out with you because you're right of centre anyway? But anyway, that's me. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everybody. But follow me, please. And honestly, spread this video, this podcast. Send it to everybody, please. Just make it grow. The right have to grow. Jacinda, we don't want her winning in New Zealand next year. We don't want her winning an election. And we want Donald Trump to be still in place. We want the Conservatives in the UK. Well, Conservatives, I'll say that very lightly with a small c. But they're better than the alternative, I suppose. Keep them in power. And we want the right to grow. Me, personally, we want populism to grow. And for New Zealanders listening to this, take a look at New Conservatives, take a look at Leighton Baker, because he's the closest thing you've got to, well, real Conservatives, really. And he will take New Zealand's signature off the Global Compact. He says as much. He says as much to me, because I know Leighton, we've met a couple of times now, three times. And yeah, take a look at voting for Leighton, because he's a great bloke. He's a builder, works with his hands. He's got a hell of a grip on his hand. When he shakes his hand, you think your hand's going to break. But he's a man's man. Married, traditional, kids, grandchildren. He's even married to a woman, would you believe? But anyway, that's me. Cross the Rubicon. See you later.